Yo.
Hey. Can you hear me?
You listening to Hashtag. W-A-W. What a week. What a week.
Week. Ata, welcome to another episode of Wow, What a Week. Our guest this week, I've been a fan of his work probably for the last, 6, 7 years. I partied with him in China. We did a gig together in Shanghai. The big question is, did we get some of those milk sweets in China? We'll answer all of that and more.
This is
Wow!
What a week.
What a week. Celebrity guest.
Celebrity guest.
And we are going to jump straight into it. One of the reasons I have a lot of respect for this young man, it's actually not because of his talent or his cadence or the fact that he spits like Mark Stent. Mark Stent is my DJ friend who, after having a bottle of tequila, when he speaks, there's just spit. But then he's a rapper, you see, so he spits differently. One of the reasons I actually took interest in him as a rapper when he came up on the scene is because he shares a name with one of my favorite historical figures. Those that know me know that I'm a lover of history. My entire back is a map of Africa with tattoos of portraits of my favorite African leaders. One of my favorite Africans, his name was Chief Yanga. Chief Yanga was taken as a slave from Nigeria. They suspect he was Yoruba. And he ended up in the American South, in the Mexico region. Chief Yanga escaped from the plantation and set up a little community of escaped slaves. And then they started having these insurgencies fighting back against Spanish colonial rule. Chief Yanga kicked so much ass. Eventually, the Spanish said, listen, let's negotiate. If you go to Mexico right now, there is a town called Yanga because of Chief Yanga. Today, we're hanging out with Yanga Chief. He wasn't taken from Nigeria. He was taken from the Transkei. And he was brought here where he started his own revolution. At some stage, he thought, why is Xhosa rap being not fagad? Why is us lingas fagi? Risqueezing in. He was that guy. And he figured, if you're not going to squeeze us in, I will squeeze myself in. He started his own revolution, and one day they'll name a town after him. It's Yanga Chief.
Please say the chief.
What's up, my dog?
Oh, what an intro.
And all off the dome, my dude. Yo. All off the dome.
That history lesson is hard. I like that. Love that. Love
dude,
that.
I am obsessed with our history because I don't think we speak enough about where we come from, about who we are. Like looking at where you come from, the history from the area alone says, write more about us, write music about us, make movies about us.
For sure. And it's deep, so.
Yeah.
Just honored to be, you know, a part of it at some point.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Who's your favorite historic Xhosa man or woman, would you say?
Wow. It would have to be King Faku.
Yes.
Yeah. It'd have to be King Faku. I think a lot of people don't realize how the relationship that he had with King Shaka.
Oh, yes.
You know, that's why I'm watching season 2, Shaka Ilembe. Like, I want to see, like, where King Faku comes into the picture, you know?
You know what I was preaching just last year? That I'm hoping season 2 will include his relationship with King Moshoeshoe. So maybe let's start with King Faku.
Okay.
And then we'll move to... So there's 3 seasons then.
100%.
Exactly. Anyway, carry on, you were saying.
Yeah, so if you look at my album cover,
yes,
it's got the horns there and everyone's crying about the horns, you know.
So, yeah, Lord Faku is the album, right?
Yeah, Lord Faku, the life of a Gyan. And there's anyone's crying about the horns, you know, it's demonic, it's this, it's that. But I didn't even think of that because I came across this story where King Shaka sent his men to go and conquer Lord Faku.
Sure.
And they failed, obviously. But on the way back, they conquered a smaller tribe and brought that kettle to King Shaka. But Shaka was too smart. He's like, no, man, this kettle, it doesn't belong to Faku because Faku's kettle has the big horns.
Oh, yes.
You know?
President Ramaphosa horns.
Yeah. And I was like, I actually like that. You know, and after that, they kind of like called a truce, you know? So, yeah, that's one of the dope stories, man.
Tell us about that album cover, Lord Faku. The album is out.
Yeah.
It's banging. It's, dude, just from track one, I'm like, what the fuck is this kid? What are you on? What's going on?
Deliver it.
You know what it sounds like?
Yeah.
It sounds like you said, I'm hearing you all niggas.
Yeah.
But hold my beer. That's what that album sounds like. Am I wrong?
Yeah. And I think also even with the opening record, like I had submitted the album maybe like a month before it came out and announced the date. And those first 2 weeks before, like, you know, it was 2 weeks to go.
Yeah.
I was just like, I know all the music is good. I like all the songs.
Sure.
But I'm not ready for it to come out. Like, there's something missing, you know? And it was all about, like, the track order, you know? It's like having a Louis Vuitton sneaker with no laces, you know? I needed the laces and I need to sit down and actually figure out which song comes first. And the reason I went with, like, that kind of opening song, like, Undimgwa Khona, is I just wanted to go against the grain, man. I've always been anti-establishment, you know, in my in my look and feel and how I carry myself. And I felt like people are expecting like a deep cut in the beginning.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I want to set the precedent, like, as we start, that this listening experience is going to be different.
When you're nervous about a release and you're like, okay, not yet, not yet, not yet. Who do you turn to for advice? Or do you pray on it? Like, what do you do to get the discernment maybe you need at that stage?
I think a lot of my friends have to take credit here because I've dragged them to my house, you know, a lot. And
who are my friends, as it were? Who are those people?
Okay, for this particular project, I have to give a shout out to Sakile. I went to varsity with Sakile. I met him in varsity.
This is at UJ.
At UJ.
Okay.
And we went our separate ways. And just in the last 5 years, we just linked back together and kind of like started the whole process again. And he helped me actually like just remember a couple of things that I'd forgotten, you know, along the way. And so building this project with him and my other friend Martin and Rich Mahog and Don Design, Smooda Rock, you know, all these people have come in at certain different points in this journey to put this whole entire thing together.
Yeah.
And I have to actually just give them a shout out because they put up with me like late night calls. You know, they got work in the morning, but they still out here with me drinking another one, trying to figure it out, you know? But over and above all of that, I always, always prayed on it. You know, I prayed on it every day, you know? And shout out to Booga Love as well.
Yes.
Because at some point I was in his home cell. And that's when my relationship with God actually like came back to what it was when I was in varsity, you know, because when I was in varsity, I had no business being in the industry, you know, I was a dropout, you know, home was far away and I had to make a plan and figure out what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
But I remember like God's voice was always in my head, you know, Jesus. So I've got that voice back again. And I think I need to shout out to Booga Love as well for providing that platform and that connection.
How did you hook up with Booga Love? I mean, there's a million home cells on this continent. How does one end up in Booga Love's home cell?
Yeah. I think the first time I ran into Booga Love, I think it was at a garage, you know?
Yeah.
And we spoke about music. And then we started having conversations and he wanted to bring back the home cell situation. We'd actually meet up like for lunch.
Yeah.
And we'd actually have like conversations about life and would advise me on what to do and what God would do and all of that, you know? Yeah. And he told me that he wanted to actually go back and do the home cell again because he used to do it before.
Yeah.
And then we started going there. And then little did I know that, you know, when I stopped going to the home cell, like AKA would go to the home cell. You know?
Yes.
So after Keenan's passing, I went back to the home cell and I found like a dope environment with other like artists.
So typically what happens at a Booga Love home cell?
Well, we go through the word.
Yeah.
someone in the congregations, not many of us,
yeah.
someone speaks testimony or read something from the Bible, and he does the same. And then afterwards, we just chop it up and talk about it.
Do you ever drop like young 16s at the end just to... Just put a stamp on.
I try not to speak at all. You know what the funny thing is? Like, yeah. if we go to a home, so I do have some, like, one of my close friends, like, it's almost like he's so old school in the, he kind of like ridicules it, like, oh, praying again, you know?
Oh, yes, those people.
You always get those, you know? But for the most part, you know, I've been praying by myself, you know, and going to different churches.
Yeah.
My sister's very religious as well.
Sure. How do you navigate such in your life where I want to be a rapper, but some family members feel I'm wasting my time?
Mm.
I pray to my, you know, my Lord and Savior,
mm.
but some people are on some, oh, here we go again, you Bible clapping lunatics. How do you navigate those relationships? Because often it's people you still want in your life.
Yeah.
But you also want them to respect the fact that this is my chosen path.
Yeah. I'm fortunate enough that my mom pretty much let me do whatever I want.
Yeah.
I think from a young age, she also knew that I have it. I have this like art, yeah. artistic side to
You're
me.
A special child.
Yeah. yeah. Out of all her kids, yeah, this one.
This one.
You just need to let him flourish. Like, she knew how to handle me. You know, I kind of got into it with my dad, you know, every now and again. He's very strict.
Yeah.
But my mom just knew how to handle me, and she gave me that freedom, and I was allowed to express it since, like, primary school.
Yeah.
So by the time I got to, like, varsity, I just knew that I had to make it work because... Hey, other kids were going and getting doctor's degrees and, yes. You know that competition, Labo Mama back home, you know, it's a real thing. So you got to make this thing work, you know.
Can I tell you the pressure I was under when I moved to Joburg? Because similarly with like with you, I mean, myself and my dad had a fallout.
Yeah.
Because I dropped out of law school.
Yeah.
And my dad was like, how dare you drop out of law school? You're going to be a servant to your mates, blah, 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 blah. But mom understood. Mom understood that this child, given a chance, will flourish. So I'm going to be the wind beneath the wings that he needs. And I remember when she said, when I came to Joburg, I mean, she had to speak to my dad to let me come to Joburg.
For sure.
But she also told me, don't fuck it up. So I was constantly thinking, don't fuck it up. Because also I was protecting my mom from dad saying, I told you.
I knew it.
I told you you were too lenient on this one.
For sure. Hey, that was my big fear, man. I think my mom has never actually worried. I'm sure she's worried.
Yeah.
But she's never projected that on me. You know, even when I've failed at some points, like I've always had like the confidence to just go again because I know my mom is saying, let's go. You know, so yeah, grateful to her, great support structure, and my siblings are actually very talented. My little brother studies, he's doing his master's in music
at UCT.
My little sister is doing her honors in accounting.
Yeah,
so they're very smart. Like, I clearly come from a smartish family.
You just dropped an album, you're all thriving, bro.
Yeah, I think so.
Never discount what you're doing.
Yeah.
Because often we put our siblings on whatever pedestals.
For sure.
But almost discounting how much we're doing.
Yeah.
Or how much we're getting done.
Yeah.
You know, because their masters is your album, for argument's sake, in your world.
Yeah. Funny you should say that because that's what the Bible actually taught me the most.
Yeah.
You know? Like, Jesus apparently loves you no matter what. Yeah. Like, whether you're flopping, whether you're thriving, and I'm like, why? Because I don't love myself when my things aren't together, when I'm making mistakes constantly. Like, why would you continue to love this person?
Yeah.
Then you investigate into yourself and you learn to love yourself. And that's where the power comes from, you know?
When would you say you were hardest on yourself? At what stage in your life?
Couple times, actually. I think the first time I left when I was working with Slicker back in the day, and I left to start my own production company.
Yeah.
When
you were the website guy.
When I was the website guy. You know, carrying the camera. You know, I had confidence. I'm gonna do my own production company. Blah blah blah. And then ended up couch to couch. You know, Obviously, also, like, you know, not, I don't know, maybe I wasn't really disciplined enough as well.
Before you carry on, who had the least comfortable couch of the couches you've crashed on?
No, the least. There's a guy of mine called Cheddar.
Yeah.
Yeah, I stayed at Love Day here in town. Sure, yeah, sure. That couch, yeah, it wasn't the one.
Yeah, but also it's Love Day.
Hey, but there's competition. There's one in Bram, dog. There was this one in Bram, I'm telling you. That one, like, it wasn't just me on the couch. No, I missed my three.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so, yeah, many couches. My favorite couch, though, was the Rich Mahal couch here at the Franklin.
Oh, nice shit.
And fancy, yeah.
Yes, yes. The fact that was... It's a dope spot.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, it was fun. We had some good times. Mm. But I think most disappointed in myself was, yeah, that period when I was starting my own production company. And I just wasn't disciplined enough to keep it together, you know.
What was missing? Well, where do you think you were fucking up at the time?
I think it's fear, you know, just doing your own thing, because I had the confidence to start in the beginning. I had this contract with this brand for like 6 months.
Yeah.
And then 2 months to go, 1 month to go. Mm. Then it happened, you know, the contract is over, you know. And I guess like I was mismanaging funds as well. You know, every little thing I got, I'd spend it on entertainment, you know.
Okay, so you were blowing the money as it came in.
Yes.
Versus in 6 months, I might not have money. So let me maybe...
100%.
Yeah.
I think I got into the videography thing so early and so young, while all my peers were still first year, second year. And I was already running around the clubs, meeting you guys, you know.
Yeah.
And so I kind of always felt like, man, I'll get to like real business later.
Yeah.
You know, it's too soon for me to, you know, start counting, doing the checks and balances, you know. And I think that's where I left myself now.
Mm. It's a conversation I always have with cats who are starting young. Because when we were 18, 19, we had a sound system already. So it was me and two of my boys. And we were gigging every weekend. Like straight out of high school, we bought a sound system. From a loan we got. We were gigging every weekend. But every Monday we'd meet. Every Sunday we'd meet. And we split the money. Monday, we're blowing the money. No, Monday we're blowing it. I had rings on every finger.
So I was like,
I had chains, bro.
So I was like, yeah,
I had about 11 pairs of Ray-Bans. Before I was like 20.
Yeah.
We're just blowing. And I look back and think, you know, had we not fucked around, we could have built something at that stage. I still have the gold rings, though. Hopefully the price of gold will...
You gotta bring them out.
Will work with me.
You gotta bring them out.
So would you say the lesson from that then is... whatever money comes in is not necessarily for now, just only for now.
Yeah. Sometimes you get the finance for your future dreams now.
Yes.
You know, and that'll be your advantage, like a year from now, 2 years from now, you know. That's why, you know, savings, you know. But I think more important than savings is just to have a financial system early, as early as possible.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Back to my question. We actually took 15 minutes, but we haven't answered the question.
Yeah.
Getting cold feet about the release.
Yes.
And then you've got you guys telling you what?
Telling me, just drop it.
Yeah, yeah.
I think people have been telling me to just release the music for the last 4 years.
Yeah.
3 years. I last dropped a project in 2020. And my discernment was telling me now is not the right time. You know, the timing, I feel like, is as important as the music itself.
Yes.
And there's things I needed to overcome on the journey before releasing
things like
that
what?
I did. Independence. I had to earn this independence.
Sure.
So by the time I dropped my last album, I still had another album left of my major that I was signed to.
Yeah.
And I just felt like I needed to do my own thing. But I'm not going to be a disgruntled artist and not release music and, you know, start fighting with the label. Because I remembered when I signed the contract in the first, like, 5 years ago, even though, like, it wasn't the best contract, I could see that.
Yes.
But I backed myself to outwork the unfavorable terms.
Oh, yes, yes.
Yeah,
yes,
deliver the albums faster, you know, make hit songs, you know, because all of that counts. And so I wasn't going to chicken out now and start blaming the label for certain things, right?
Because regardless of how shitty your contract may be, if you have an opportunity to use someone else's money to release your music,
that's a big thing.
Do that.
You know, that's a big thing.
So sometimes even if you have the capacity to self-release, dude, billionaires use the bank's money still.
For sure.
That's why they're billionaires.
Take someone else's money. If someone's willing to give it to you, take that money, bro.
Absolutely.
You know? And then, like, you know, I decided, okay, cool, I'm going to see out the remainder of my contract.
Yeah.
And so since the last 4 years, I've been dropping singles, and fortunately, they've been doing well.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I dropped an EP last year.
Yeah.
Around about this time, and I was officially done with my previous contract, and I was free.
Tell us about your final submission to your major. That day, take us through the emotions of that day.
So
because Chief Younger,
yeah,
I'm sure it was the best feeling of freedom.
For sure. I'd built up, you know, obviously, like, how many songs do I still have left?
Yeah.
Cool. I said 6 songs. Cool. So I wanted to, like, cap it off nicely. As much as I wanted out of the label, I had good times in the label.
Yeah.
I won a Sama Award. I got many plaques in the label.
And the songs you release, regardless, still have your name to them. So 100%. You can't fuck around.
Yeah, 100%. So I decided, okay, let me do a closer type album, but it's going to be the seed that plants and prepares people for their independent journey. So you got to go a little bit back first.
Oh, yes.
Before you shoot. And that's why I call it Imvelapi, to plant the seed that, listen, this guy's digging deep and he's doing the work to actually go on his own journey. It was an announcement for me. I've been a great collaborator with other artists my whole career. As late as it might seem, this is my beginning and this is where my journey starts at the end of the Sony contract.
Yeah. I've got goosebumps too, just listening to you talk. And one of the reasons I got goosebumps is because even with the new project, there's not a collaboration, not one collaboration on that album that doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Not one.
Funny thing is, you know, with hip hop, Fresh, everyone is like, you know, when you feel like when there's two features or two rappers on a song, it's like, who killed who, you know? I've never actually had that thing like, I'm coming to kill this person on a record. And all the artists that are on my album, I'm a huge fan of, first and foremost.
Sure.
But if that artist doesn't come on a song and do better than me, or at least match my energy, that song is never coming out.
Yeah.
I'm not
and
trying
it makes
to,
sense.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not trying to put out music where it's like, I killed this guy.
Yeah.
And you guys can hear it. I'm never trying to do that. Like, the song comes first, and then whatever the results are, we'll see.
And regardless of how it may seem that maybe you killed someone that you featured on your album, that song will always be as strong as the weakest feature or the weakest verse on the song. And you can't afford that.
Exactly. I want really good songs.
Absolutely.
I want songs that are going to outlive me, you know?
Dude, I was listening to Ask God About Me.
Yes.
And I'm like, New Sam comes in and I'm like... She makes sense. tell us about New Sam and tell us about Ask God About Me. In fact, if we ask God about you, what do you think,
God
in your humble opinion, God would say about you?
I think he would say my son. My son, my best friend, and my champion. You know, that's how it makes me feel.
Yeah.
Because when I wrote Ask God About Me, it was a time when I was having like a breakdown with like my closest friends.
Yeah.
And I felt like, you know, they're probably gonna.
What does a breakdown mean?
A breakdown is, I think when you've been like friends for so long, your friendship tends to naturally survive a lot of situations in terms of arguments and misunderstandings, where you guys just don't see eye to eye and you're outgrowing each other. Comes a point where you have to choose to walk away from the friendship to keep growing. Or like stay and fight it out, you know? So I think at that point I had taken the decision to walk away and grow. And I was like by myself, and I felt like you don't need to you know, ask me, like, who do I think I am?
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Like, Temerandoni, like, you think you, without this and that, can be, you know? Like, you don't even need to ask me, bro, like, who do I think I am? I'm just a guy, you know? But if you ask him, you know, about me, then you might realize, like, who you're actually dealing with, you know? And thanks to God, because we managed to get over that period in our friendship, and we actually grew together still. Okay. We're still growing. And that's the beauty of God. Like,
hallelujah.
He will teach you a lesson.
Yeah.
But still give you what you want.
Yeah.
I don't know how he does it.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So in the midst of that, with Noose, she was someone that I had, you know, sometimes you go down a rabbit hole on these social media platforms. So I was on TikTok and I was, you know, listening to some amazing poetry by some amazing young people.
Yeah.
They've got this thing in KZN, I think UKZN, where they have like these poets, these kids, like in this part of class. I don't know what course that is.
Yeah.
And they speak to the heart, like all of them, you know? Oh, and so with that, I found New Sam and like listening to her speak. And she loves talking about love, you know?
She blew my mind, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'd like, maybe let me take a chance, you know, let me reach out to her and see what she could add to this topic about God. Dude, as soon as that verse came back, I think it was the first version. She sent like two versions. I was like, that first version.
Yeah. You were right the first time.
Like that, that is the answer that I was looking for, you know? Yeah. Beautiful.
What do you think Keenan said to God about you?
Keenan?
Yeah.
That's my friend. I think he probably spoke in my favor.
Yeah.
I think interesting question. Yeah, I think he spoke in my favor. I think he asked God to watch over me and protect me.
Yeah.
These are conversations we've had. I mean, Keenan, towards the last year, was very super, super religious, and we'd pray on everything.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What do you miss about Keenan?
I miss the jokes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I miss the jokes. I miss the light energy, you know.
Yeah. Keenan showed you grace at a time he didn't have to. I mean, you were this kid that interviewed him for a website, but he never forgot you. Why do you think that is?
I always ask myself that, because I was so like unprepared for that interview. And I was like so stuck in my ways. Like I was like, you know, this English rap thing is never going to work.
Yeah.
But at the time, it's so funny that nobody really noticed me. And I wasn't trying to introduce myself to anyone, because I also wanted to be a rapper, just like him.
Yeah.
And I was just like, you know what? I'm not going to introduce myself until I'm a rapper.
Yes.
I don't want people saying, oh, that website guy.
A slicker guy now wants to rap.
Everyone wants to rap now. Bafit, you know? So I introduced myself to like as few people as possible. But when Keenan comes, and at the time he's still like AKA skinny, big ears, colored guy, you know, making a lot of noise, got some dope features, you know, makes
the rambunctious.
Yeah.
Words.
And he comes and says, yo, man, how you doing?
Yeah.
That at the time, like, I'd been so used to just,
I'm in the background.
Sliding in.
Yeah.
You'd be surprised at how many things I was at. Like, I remember Lee Kasumba was having a last show at YFM.
Yes.
You know, I was there in that room with all those rappers, you know?
Yeah.
But, like, unnoticeable. Yeah. Fly on the wall type thing.
Yeah.
And, like, for him to just go out of his way and, like, yo, it's like, oh, shit. Yeah. I'm actually here, you know?
Yeah.
And then to meet up with him later and to find him still being the same person. Yeah. Like,
You're in a room full of rappers more often than not at that stage, when you were working for Slicker. but you want to be a rapper.
Yeah.
Tell us about the discipline that comes with when to strike. Because often we burn bridges, not aware we're burning bridges, because we don't know when to go. And the timing often is the difference between whether your career takes off or not.
Yeah.
But you shut the fuck up and you just observed.
Yeah.
Until the time was right. Let's talk about that discipline. Because your average kid will be so excited, they want to tell everyone, I also want to rap, or what do you think of my 16?
For sure.
You know what I mean? But you had the discipline to say, I'm on a wait.
Yeah. Yeah. I had a job to do.
Yeah.
I think more than just rapping, I love rapping. I love getting on the mic and talking my shit.
Yeah.
But more than just rapping, my greatest calling is storytelling.
Yes.
So I wasn't done with telling the SA Hip Hop story. I remember when I went to Slick the first time, I think this is what convinced him to actually give me a shot as a website administrator.
Yeah.
I told him that, yo, I want to rap too, but I see you out here fighting 5FM, local airplay, all of that noise you're making. And everybody's just trying to ride this hip hop thing till the wheels fall off. Let me help you repair the wheels. And when I got into the Slicker environment, then I became a servant to SA Hip Hop, you know, in any way I could. Whether it was website administrating, whether shooting documentaries on the website or shooting music videos, you know, I was still in service to the genre as best as I could. Just so that when I actually dive in, I'm diving into something that is profitable.
Yeah.
That is living and breathing, that works, changes lives, and is sustainable.
Yeah.
As opposed to just me thinking, let me just rap and then everything will be fine. You know, I wanted to actually be a part of building the genre, because a lot of people, you know, when you talk about SA Hip Hop, you know, they think a certain way, you know, like, oh, SA Hip Hop. I don't even really think strictly hip hop when I think SA Hip Hop, you know, so many different sounds that are gelled in there, quiet or jazz, house, you know, all of these sounds and all of these different artists that have expressed themselves on that platform. The reason I got into hip hop was because I could be myself, and hip hop allowed me to do that.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
You didn't have to dilute who you are, what you're about.
Yeah. I didn't have to. So I was able to be calm when I knew that I was going to make my own music at some point, but I was so obsessed with people that I was helping, like AKA, I was helping Questa, like seeing their journey was fulfilling as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When I heard What If on Lord Faku, I literally had goosebumps and tears in my eyes, because one, you rap from the heart, and two, you ask very pertinent questions. So, for instance, what if Slick had not given you that job? Where do you think you'd be right now?
Probably be a successful psychologist.
Is that what you were studying at UJ?
No, I was actually studying audiovisual production management.
Okay.
I'd probably be in film.
Yeah.
I don't know how happy I would be. Yeah. I don't doubt my abilities in any genre or any profession.
Yeah.
But, you know, happiness is something that's eluded me every now and again when I don't actually service my inner thing. Yeah. And I think without Slick's school of Slicker, I don't know, I'd probably be back in Eastern Cape, to be honest.
That was my next question. What if your friends didn't have couches available for you?
Yeah.
What was going to happen next?
I would have gone home.
Mm.
But I remember the fear I had to go home at that time. Like, it was like death.
It's the worst.
Like, it was like I'd rather die in Joburg.
Yeah. I'd rather sleep under a bridge.
Yeah. Than go back and say, yeah, okay, it didn't work.
Mm. Couch surfing 101. How do you say to a friend, I need your couch just for a second? Because also, for some people, the shame attached to, I don't have a place to stay, I don't have a place to sleep. Right now, I'll take even your couch.
For me, it was easy because I was so good to niggas when I had everything. For real, like, I was like, guys, you know, it's my turn now, you know.
But there's also the ego that comes with that.
Yeah.
That you've built so much that you might have lost, and now you need a couch.
For sure.
At an emotional level, what were you going through at that time?
I didn't, you know, first, I never really thought it was going to be for as long as it became.
Yeah.
I thought a weekend.
Yeah.
A week.
I'll bounce back.
2 weeks.
Yeah.
Something's going to come, pay a deposit into a new apartment.
Yeah.
Before I knew it, it was a year.
Yeah.
You know, ended up doing that, getting a new apartment, moving in, really starting now, building over, watching my finances, having a plan. Ooh, but it took so long, you know. And then I think the most difficult part, the way your ego really dies when you're couch surfing, is maybe after a month.
Yeah.
After 2 months.
Yes.
Three, you have to go to another couch. Start over.
Because it becomes that. It becomes, even if you're not made to feel like you're not welcome, you feel like I'm not adding value here.
Yeah.
So let me find another couch.
Yeah.
Or I haven't bought meat the whole month.
Yeah, well. And yeah, lala.
Or I don't want to open the fridge because I feel bad.
Mm.
So I can imagine the anguish that comes with.
Also, my ambition in the way that I used to carry myself before.
Yes.
It was a little bit flamboyant, you know. A little bit flossy. So it was a very humbling experience.
When you're a couch surfer, how does dating work?
I don't date, bro.
Or do you sneak her in?
Don't date, bro. You play quite a lot of away games.
Yeah, yeah. So where was your stadium at the juncture?
Look, I was a frequent member of your Rosebanks, your Bramfontein. Yeah. So I'd find myself
on away games.
Different student accommodations, you know, around those areas.
Yeah.
Like
a chief, you were in other lands.
Yeah. Just visiting.
Raiding and pillaging other lands.
Yeah, just visiting. I actually never had, with everything, I never actually had the guts to get into a relationship and, move in with my hand and be like, I'm going to get on my feet.
Sure.
I could never go that far.
What if Keenan hadn't gone to Durban that day?
He would have gone another day. That's Keenan. Yeah, he would have gone another day. Didn't have to be that day specifically, but nothing was going to stop him. If you tell Keenan, he can't do something, he was going to do it. Yeah.
What are your thoughts on the whole Keenan debacle? And then there were conspiracies, and then Nota was adding fuel to the fire. Where were you mentally at that stage when all of this shit is flying around?
First of all, when I heard that Keenan passed, obviously I'd just come back from my cousin's funeral. I was still licking my wounds, and everyone was still checking up on me, you know, I'm bad, is he okay, you know, feeling the support.
So you didn't need that news at that time?
I didn't even believe it.
Yeah.
I didn't even believe it. And I think Questa called me, and I just couldn't even, you know. And then obviously it was confirmed and stuff, and it just hurt to have people that used to be in our circle take the opportunity to, I don't know what. You know, personally, in my head, I've just detached myself from falsehoods and correcting things, because, you know, once you just stop correcting someone, they just keep lying and lying and lying until everyone can see that this doesn't make sense. So that's the path I've taken with that. And also, to be honest with you, I think I've got my fingers crossed as well, everybody, that, you know, there is justice that is served. I'm also watching the case closely. When I do speak to Forbes' dad, we're hopeful of an outcome and some kind of closure.
Mm. Mm.
Yeah. I think that's where the focus is. I don't think we're ever going to get justice of the other things that people are talking about.
Absolutely. I think one of the big rivalries often spoken of is AKA Casper rivalry.
Sure.
But at some stage in the early days, there was almost like a Questa AKA rivalry that you guys were fueling.
It's hip hop.
Let's talk about that, man, because it might have gone over the heads of some people.
Yeah. So, I think what had happened was at Butter Bing, where Questa was signed, it was pretty much me and Nota just like, you know, focused on this young Questa kid. And we're doing well, you know, Mr. Cool, shooting dope videos. You know, at that time, I think my directing hand was strong. And I remember Keenan once said to Questa, yo, bro, if I can just get to where you're at, you know? That, and then that's the spark. Because
say after, no more.
Yabona, because after that, wafiga. Yabo? And I kept telling, we kept telling Slicker and them, bro, you need to watch out for this guy.
Yeah.
You know, don't worry. He's just in the clubs in Joburg. We all over the country. We know this game. We speak to brand managers and say, bro, this guy is in the streets. That's the problem.
Yeah.
You know? But it was just too much of a force.
Yeah.
To a point where I think even Questa and AKA realized that there's no, you know, stronger together.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, than going against each other, you know. So, because like once the Casper and AKA thing happens, like it's almost like the Nile River, like, you know, are you going to pick a side? So to find yourself in a position like Questa today where you can still be close with Casper and be close with AKA at the same time and have songs with both of them on the album.
Yeah.
You've landed in the promised land.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's a win-win.
Yeah.
One of my other favorite songs on the album is Abantiva. Mm. And I love it's almost like a sampler's wet dream.
Yes.
How do you decide on sampling?
I'm not really good actually with like old, like picking old like music in my head.
Yeah.
But I spent so much time on that couch because there was a different beat to that song. And we sat down with Big Les for real. And like, you know, you start falling asleep and you hear this beat building and you're like, oh, these drums are so amazing, you know?
Yeah.
And the way that I'd written it, the previous beat was so busy in the chorus part.
Sure.
That I didn't have a hook. I just repeated the last line, you know? Mm. And I'm like, I'm not going to add a hook to this thing. So we need a busy beat in the hook part.
Yeah.
And then while I'm sitting there, just, and I'm like, guys, what's that song? I think we spent like a good 30 minutes trying to figure out what that song is. Because you all could recognize it for my singing it, but
Brenda,
what is it called?
Brenda Fassi was not coming to you.
Brenda was there, but like, which song of hers?
Ah, okay.
You know, we're trying to figure this out, and then, got it. Let's try it.
Yeah.
Sits perfectly. And then I'm like, no, but we need Boom Shaka.
Yes.
It's about time. Lovely.
Yeah.
Now, I'd also just watched the TKZ documentary.
But even the familiarity of the drums,
yeah.
I feel, just give it balls.
Yeah.
That it wouldn't if it didn't have the familiarity of those drums.
That juicy feel.
Yes.
Because as soon as it kicks, it's like we're doing a rap thing.
Absolutely.
You know? And also coming off of the intro, which was more like relaxed. I'm actually just talking on the intro, to be honest.
Yeah.
Like, yo, this is what's about to happen.
Absolutely.
And then switch up. Rap, because I know that if you listen to my album, you see the problem with my previous projects.
Yeah.
I feel like I didn't acknowledge the rapper listener enough.
Yes,
I was very like music people.
Yes, but this is a rap lover's album. This is a rap lover's album.
This album, I was like, okay, my first independent project, I am going to make a rapper's album.
Yes,
that needs to be the theme.
Yeah,
and then we can add music and all the bells and whistles.
Yeah,
came off great. Yeah.
Yo, dude, like I said, every feature works. Every feature makes sense.
Yeah.
It's. I was like, this nigga was on some, why should we take prisoners today?
For sure. Yeah.
Everyone dies tonight. Mm. How are you feeling about the release and the reception so far?
Great. I feel great.
Because there's also that.
Yeah.
The fear of, I'm independent now.
Yeah.
Has the game forgotten me?
Yeah.
Have my people forgotten me? Mm. Are my pianos also making noise this side?
Yeah.
Afro House is making noise this side.
Yeah.
Is there still space for me here? It's not easy. Because, I mean, you make it seem easy. Because you have the talent.
Yeah.
But at a human being level.
Yeah.
It must be fucking stressful, bro.
Bro, that is, you know, like the way you just put it, that is the perfect analogy as to all the things that were going through my head.
Yes.
Going into this release.
Yes.
I think I've been acting out and acting strange for a couple months now.
Yeah.
You know, wanting to release it last year, fighting with my distributor, like, come on, you know.
Yeah.
Only to find, like, oh, timing was perfect. And even, like, the date that I chose, I was just, like, trying to get it out before everybody else.
Yes.
Like, just listen to my stuff, you know.
Yes.
But also, like, what if people like it and then, nice.
Absolutely. Oh,
well done.
Absolutely.
There's nothing to show.
What if?
Because I'm in business now. I'm independent.
Yeah.
The numbers matter.
Yeah.
You know? And I just...
In fact, what if is almost at 1 million already on Spotify? I probably own 100 of those. I would glad.
For sure.
So I have... In fact, we should actually start having streamers awards.
Yeah.
Where you get to thank your top 10 streamers with a little plaque.
Right. I actually saw an app
from
one of my friends who's also like got 100 and something.
Yeah.
And there's this app, I think it's on Spotify, where you can go and check and like they say you are in the top 5% of this song.
Ah, yes.
You know?
Now imagine if you could reward your listeners, streamers and fans with a little thank you, a little badge of honor. That you've streamed my song like 100 times. Thank you.
They need to look into that.
Surely that would change the game.
Yeah. They need to look into that. Yeah.
No, you need to look into that.
I will.
Don't wait for them to do it. Beat them to it.
Yeah, I'll look into that.
Because my biggest gripe with a lot of artists is artists have all this data that they do nothing with.
Mm.
You know who's listening. You know where they are.
Mm.
You know that if you go to Polokwane today, you have at least 1,000 people that stream your album every day.
For sure.
That's a gig.
Yeah.
Waiting to happen in Polokwane.
Yeah.
Based on the data.
And you never go.
But you never go or make plans to go. But the data says Polokwane has people listening. The people listening to you in Kakamas, for argument's sake.
Mm.
But we still don't know this data.
Yeah. See, that's what we're trying to do now because... I mean, even back then, like with Squatter Camp and them, we didn't have the data, but we would still go to the shows.
You'd still make the effort.
It was the awareness, right? You'd do all the radio tours, all the interviews. Yeah. Like even before doing a gig in any city you went through, you'd do about 3 or 4 interviews that day.
Yeah.
Then do the gig and then go home.
Absolutely.
You know? Now guys don't do that anymore. But I've opened myself up for that kind of like play.
Yeah.
There's no interview that I've declined.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to decline any.
Mm.
I'm doing them back to back and I'm prioritizing that. One thing I've learned from like, especially like the OGs, the PR is just as important as the music.
Yes.
And showing up for your interviews on time, presentable, sober.
I was going to say, hopefully sober.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I've stopped drinking for a while.
Yeah.
You know, only because like I'm where I've always wanted to be, bro. I'm so happy. Like, you know, like I know for a fact that the people that I made the music for are listening to it.
Sure.
And they're receiving it the way that I, you know, what's the funny part, Fresh?
Mm.
When you walk around with like a dope album.
Yeah.
And you have people asking you for features.
Sure.
You have people... Just meeting you in general, yo, shout out, yo, I really, and you think to yourself, damn, I need to update my software.
Yeah.
These guys are giving me props and showing me love of something I did 4 years ago.
Exactly.
I've been rapping for 4 years since then.
Yeah.
I might not have released projects since then, and it seems like, oh, you haven't done this in 4 years. But I've been changing every day for 4 years and still being treated as my 2020 self.
Yes.
So to finally have this project out and to meet people where I feel like I am is so much more amazing, bro. Like, I'm having the time of my life. I'm like a kid.
Best feeling.
I'm like a child.
Yeah.
That's how I feel.
Set Me Free. Features AKA. Was it easy deciding whether or not to have that song on there?
I think for the most part...
And it doesn't help that it's short. I feel robbed, but then you'll carry on.
I'll tell you what. For the most part, I didn't have an AKA feature on the project.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes things people say kind of get to your head as well. Like, oh, you're using his name to sell your project, you know.
But that train will always show up.
So I had...
If you hadn't featured him, so you've forgotten him already.
You know?
You can never win. That's why do your shit and keep it moving.
So, you know, I had, fortunately, some close friends of mine who were just like, what are you talking about? Like, you know, why would you not have...
Exactly. You had a relationship. It's not like you're...
Yeah.
It's not like you recorded one thing within 10 years ago and now all of a sudden, you know?
You know. But with that said... I strongly, like, people think I have so many AKA verses, and I actually didn't have a single one.
Mm.
Listening to the album the one day, like, from track one to whatever, and I just had something to say. Like, I just, like, check WhatsApp, you know? And I went to our conversations, and lo and behold, the verse was there.
Oh, wow.
And it just felt right for me to not, like, say anything on that song. I just, like, Ukinen, like, it's almost like it's just, let me rap, dog.
Let me wrap this shit up for you.
Actually. And I would never let anyone have their own song on my album.
Mm.
But, you know, Kinen deserves, you know, he earned it.
But like I said, it's short.
I had nothing to say after that song.
Yeah.
I think it's just a moment. It's also just an interlude. Mm. Didn't want it to be like a song now where I'm performing it as well. Like I'm going on.
Yeah.
It's just for the person that understands my relationship with him.
Mm.
And it's just an intimate moment for all of us.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm. Absolutely. You can buy the mpasha, but you can't buy the cadence.
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
This voice?
Yeah.
I remember the only person that I think kind of has my jig, or whose jig I'm like, that's jig is Kuli Chana.
Sure.
From the jump, from day one, just how he carries himself, how he dresses.
Yeah.
But you can buy those clothes, eh?
Yeah.
You just can't.
Yeah.
The swing, though, it's not for sale, my guy.
Yeah.
You know, it's not for sale. And it's this voice, this tone, that has actually gotten me places in those rooms, spoken about outside of those rooms and into people's hearts.
Mm.
It's the cadence.
Yes.
So that's the God-given side of it, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. My dude, we are out of time. And I just wanted us to have a quick catch-up, talk about the album. The album is incredible. It's amazing. I think it would have been an injustice not to, you know, have you in here to talk about the album.
Thank you.
I'm a fan. Like I said, I have it on repeat. I drove to Bots yesterday, In and Out. I had the album playing all the way to Bots, all the way back.
Love that.
It's a fucking amazing album, my dude.
Thank you, bro.
Who should buy this album?
I think buy this album if you... Damn, I actually answered this question like a while ago and now I've forgotten what the answer was. Changes every day.
Give us a new answer, bro.
Changes every day.
Answer 2.0.
I think if you generally enjoy music, if you strive to be a good person, if you want to have fun, if you're trying to meet new people and step out of your zone, if you want an icebreaker, if you want confidence for today or tomorrow, if you want to believe in your dream a little bit more, if you're feeling like you maybe can't do it, if you're having doubts, if you want to just inspire yourself or encourage yourself to do that thing that you've been trying to do, that you've been putting off, that you're too scared to do.
Yeah.
If you have fear in your heart, but you have ambition and you have willpower and you have a drive, listen to this project.
Yeah,
it's born from that. And it's an example to show you, like, anybody can get it, even you.
And I dare also say, or if you just want a reminder of what hip hop actually sounds like.
Yeah, if you want to. Yeah. Yeah, talk that shit.
Nah, yeah. My dude, sure. Like, fuck, bro. Like, geez, I don't fanboy over too many rappers.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But, dude, you're doing the shit, and you must just keep at it.
Thank you, bro.
Just keep at it.
And I also just say, I realized last night when I was having this conversation with one of my friends.
Yeah.
I'm actually a graduate of SA Hip Hop. Like, I started in the behind the scenes videography with Slicker.
Yeah.
We artists developed with Questa. Learned more of the game with AKA. Went in and did my own thing. Took a couple L's along the way. And I'm walking around with my certificate, my graduation.
Yeah.
You know, this is my graduation journey, and I have graduated from the School of SA Hip Hop, and I'm proud to say so. And I hope the album sounds like that.
I'd be as bold as to say you're one of the professors now at the rate you're going, bro.
Right.
No, like, for real, at the rate you're going. Jeez, bro.
Sure.
Let's make this man a professor of SA Hip Hop.
Sure.
What did you pray about this morning?
Ooh, I prayed for discipline.
Yeah.
I prayed for discipline and just to keep my head grounded.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not trying to get lost again. I always get lost when it's nice, bro.
Yeah.
I can't help it. But I just prayed for discipline, bro. Like, and gratitude. Like, I'm so grateful for everything that's happening. Mm. I've been looking at the numbers and I know what it means, like, financially. And I'm just praying every day to make sure that
I build
on this, bro. And I can't
fuck it up, dog. Yeah.
Can't fuck, not again.
Yeah.
You know? It's time to build now. It's time to...
But you've also built enough bridges that you have enough couches you can go to. So, you know.
Many couches, bro.
Exactly. So you're still good, bro.
Many couches. I have many couches in my house.
Yeah. You take the couch.
Yeah. I've had too many couches in my house, you know. Yeah. Thank you, man. Thank you for... thank you for inviting me to this show. Like,
nice,
this is the 199th episode, I believe.
Yeah.
Honored to be in top 200.
Absolutely. Absolutely, brother, man. Lord Faku is out. Get yourself a copy. Stream it. I dare say, share it if you must. But let's get it out there. And this man needs to be performing at your festival. Let's book our artists. Let's support our artists. That is very important. Also, if you are a couch manufacturer, let's get this man a couch endorsement. No, no, for real. Like, the younger chief couch, bro.
For sure.
And no, for real. Don't. I'm not even fucking around. I'm not even trying to be funny.
Yeah.
The fact that you used to be a couch surfer, if you released a couch range, I would buy one.
Right?
It's true. Think about it. If you're a couch, and you're welcome. If you're a couch manufacturer, please send him designs. But it must be comfortable also.
Yeah.
Thank you, my dude.
Thank you, sir.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's Younger Chief. Remember the name. Thank you for tuning in. It's another episode of Wow, What a Week, episode 199. Coming to you from AMP Studios, downtown Johannesburg. We are part of the Africa Podcast Network. Email waw@africapodcastnetwork.com. Shout out Trevor and the crew at Pezulu Works for the cinematography. Until next week, have a wow week in spite of yourselves.